Moncrief on News Talk.
For some time, there's been a bit of a tit-for-tat between North and South Korea. South Korea blares K-pop across the border. North Korea has been sending bags of rubbish attached to drones into the South. And now the North has blown up a number of roads that link the two parts of the peninsula. It's relatively petty stuff, but it does seem to indicate that a rapprochement of any sort between the two Koreas is very far away. Professor Hazel Smith is from the School of Oriental and African Studies at the University of London. Afternoon, Hazel.
Good afternoon.
Would it be fair to say that neither North nor South Korea really want to improve relations at the moment?
I think that's very fair to say that. South Korea has, under the new president, had a very tough relationship since he came to power 2.5 years ago. He's engaged very closely with Japan and even more so with the United States. And by engagement, I mean military engagement. They've had Air Force, land, air and sea exercises involving hundreds of thousands of troops in South Korea, permanently on the border with North Korea, making it very clear to North Korea that they're militarily prepared should there be any form of hot conflict on the peninsula. And in North Korea, they are concerned that they are by far the weaker power militarily and economically. And also, what the North Korean government is concerned about is the loyalty of its young people. About a third of the population, about 7-8 million people, are under 18. They've got no ideological reference to the days of Kim Il-sung and communism and nationalism even. At least the nationalism of the current leader. And they listen to K-pop and watch movies, and illegally, but quite widely, movies which show life in South Korea, which looks infinitely better than what they see in North Korea. And the North Korean government is concerned about young people, that they can't guarantee their loyalty in future.
Mm. And the tit-for-tat that's been going on around the border, the South playing K-pop, the North sending in bags of rubbish on drones. It all seems a bit silly, but is there a function to acting that way?
It's only functional in that it allows the leadership on both sides to indulge in some really petty histrionics, which don't make much difference to either the North Korean population or the South Korean population or the strategic balance between them. It is symbolic, though, of the way that relations have deteriorated compared to previous North-South government relations, say under the previous president in South Korea, and even when Kim Jong-un, the North Korean leader for life, was involved, where they tried to put on joint sports teams and international sporting events, where there was some attempts at diplomatic rapprochement between North and South. And that really had been going on since the late 1990s, when Kim Dae-jung, who eventually won the Nobel Peace Prize and was the first president of South Korea, really, to engage in the post-Cold War era with the North. Since then, there had been on and off, but attempts at diplomatic engagement between North and South Korea, but that really stopped with this new president of South Korea, who felt that it just wasn't getting anywhere. The North Koreans weren't responding to any of these diplomatic overtures.
And was his election an indication that the general population in South Korea feels the same?
There's a big generation split in South Korea. Young people, again, similar to young people in North Korea, for them, the Korean War, which lasted from 1950 to 1953, is distant history. Their grandparents might have been involved with it, but even then, there's not many people still alive who directly remember it. So for South Koreans who live in one of the richest countries in the world, the young people, and there are lots of poor people in South Korea, but there are also lots of well-off people in South Korea. For them, North Korea is as distant as the North Pole in many ways, even though physically North Korea is just divided by South Korea by a line on the land. A zero communication for the last few years between the two at population level, and it's an irritant for young people in South Korea. But it's not something that, at least if the polls show, that they take into account as a top priority. And that is different as well from, say, 10 years ago, when young people were concerned about about North Korea. We're concerned with the humanitarian aspects in North Korea. I mean, today we have starvation that's re-emerged in North Korea. In the 1990s, the South Korean NGOs leapt into the fray to provide food. Today, there's starvation in North Korea, and nobody in South Korea is really very detached from it. Hardly anybody is taking any notice of that.
Oh, my word. And in a more general sense, in terms of the Chinese attitude towards this or the American attitude towards this, notwithstanding whoever wins the presidential election, is it probably in everyone's interest to just leave things the way they are?
Well, I think if President Trump wins, you'll see a policy of the US towards engagement. President Trump and his supporters argue, and to a certain extent rightly, that when President Trump was in office, he didn't start any new foreign wars. Also, because he's not interested, he's interested in other things. He doesn't want to be engaged abroad in almost in any way whatsoever. Also, President Trump considers that he got near to resolving the Korean conflict, and that he considers would have got him a Nobel Prize. And that was derailed by one of his own people, by John Bolton, who is a famous neoconservative who basically stymied President Trump's approaches to North Korea. I think there's every likelihood from what President Trump has been saying that he will try to revive those efforts at diplomacy and come to some form of deal, especially as he also intends, if he gets into office, into power, to do a deal with President Putin. And Russia and North Korea supply munitions to Russia at the moment. So I think that there will be a very big change in policy, international policy towards North Korea. And actually, that would be welcomed by China, who sees the ongoing instability in the Korean Peninsula as a problem for its own economic growth. It doesn't want to have that sort of instability on its border. It would rather have some sort of deal between North Korea, the United States, and South Korea. Mm. If Kamala Harris gets in, then it's likely she will continue the policy of probably, we can call it benign neglect, because the Biden administration hasn't really been involved in North Korea. It's been focused on the Middle East and on Ukraine and also, of course, on its domestic issues. So I think that there will be two different paths depending on which presidential candidate wins in a few weeks' time in November.
And blowing up the roads, which is the latest part of the tit for tat, that again, that's symbolic. I imagine those roads could easily be rebuilt if they needed to.
Yes, I mean, it's just a sign that relations are bad between the two states. We're not talking about the northern part of the country, which is of North Korea, which is divided from China by huge mountains, and where road building is pretty expensive and difficult. Between North and South Korea, it's flat. It's a lot of farmland around there. It's very easy to reconstitute road and rail links between the North and the South. But it is symbolic, and it does show. And again, partly it's for internal purposes in North Korea. The North Koreans want to show to their young people that forget it if you think that you're going to have any chance of being like the South Koreans or having contact with the South Koreans or having a life like South Korean young people have. This is a symbol as much to North Korean youth that relations with South Korea are not on the agenda in the foreseeable future, as it is to the world outside.
Hazel Smith is a professor at the School of Oriental and African Studies and author of North Korea, Markets and Military Rule. Hazel, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.